Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
And I'm excited to be preaching on this series. This is literally one of my favorite topics in the Bible to talk about. Let's just go before the Lord right now. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for the kingdom. I pray that in the next few moments, as I'm preaching your word, as I'm speaking, God, that you would communicate through me. And that, God, the words that come from your book, your scripture, would go right to our heart. I pray you would encourage us today. I pray you would breathe life into us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, I'm glad you're in church. Tell them, because you need it today. I'm just joking. Partly. All right. So we're continuing in our series called The Kingdom of God. And we've been talking about the idea of the kingdom because the kingdom, again, is often misunderstood. The kingdom of God, when we read it in the Bible, sometimes we think that means heaven one day. The kingdom will come one day. One day when I die and I go into eternity, I will be in the kingdom. And though that's true, that is not the full picture of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is something that is both to come, but it's very present in the earth today. The kingdom was inaugurated, the kingdom began, the kingdom started when Jesus came to the earth. He brought the kingdom of God with him. He brought the Father's will with him when he came to the earth. Because mankind, we had messed it up. We had given over dominion of the world. We'd given over the dominion of the kingdom of the earth to the enemy when we brought sin into the world. But yet when Jesus came, he came bringing a different kingdom. And throughout the world, there are segments of kingdoms that are mere reflections of what God actually wants to bring into the earth. His kingdom, his will. So it's important that you understand that, that the kingdom is both to come and it's here now. We quote this scripture at the end of each one of our services, but I want to read it to you again just to help give you an understanding of this. In John chapter 3, verse 3, this is what Jesus says. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." No one can even see this kingdom. It is quite possible that the kingdom can be right in your midst and you not even see it. It is very possible for you to be sitting next to someone in church who is a part of this kingdom and you completely miss it. Jesus said, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless you are first born again. Now, the moment that we become born again, you're brought into God's kingdom. You are a part of God's family. And there are certain things that apply to you. Don't miss this. There are certain things that apply to you as a member of God's kingdom that do not apply to everyone else. I think and I fear that sometimes in churches we preach to people about the benefits of the kingdom. We preach these things that are conditional, but we preach them to people who don't meet the conditions. We throw out promises to people that, yes, God made, but God did not make them to everyone. God made them to his people. He made them to the people in his kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that I'm going to start going, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. No, no, no. You know if you're in the kingdom. You know if you're a child of God. And this morning, I want to preach to those who are a part of that kingdom because there are benefits to living in the kingdom. There are certain things that only apply to you because you are his child. I want you to think about it this way. If I was in a large crowd of people, which hasn't happened too much in 2020, but if I was in a large crowd of people And everybody's kind of shoulder to shoulder, and everybody's loud, and they're talking. Let's just say I'm at a LSU game, or how about this one, a Cajuns game. Go Cajuns. Cajuns are doing well this year. First time. Anyway, we'll get back to that later. Let's keep watching them. But imagine I'm in this large group setting, and I look at my kids, and I tell my kids, when this is over, Dad is going to take you to get a snowball. Now, how many of you know that just because somebody is next to us and heard me say that, how many of you know I'm not taking them to get a snowball? Why? Because I was talking to my kids. I was addressing my kids. You may have heard me say it. You may have heard the promise, but you're not one of my kids. This kingdom is full of promises that God wants us to have, things that he's given us, but he's giving them to his kids. He's made these promises and these benefits to his kids. But I can stand up here and tell you, this is how you get the peace of God in your life. How many of you know it does not matter if you hear what I'm saying and even attempt to do what I'm saying if you are not a part of the kingdom that promise was made to? There are benefits to the kingdom. Pastor, I don't know, that sounds exclusive. I don't know if I like that. Make no mistake about it, it is. It is exclusive. It is very exclusive. See, with my kids, I may provide something for other kids. I may help take care of and care for other kids. But my kids are my kids. And my kids, not only do they get the benefits of being my kid, they also get the correction that comes with being my kid. They get me cleaning up their messes. They get me disciplining them. They get me teaching them. They get me guiding them. I think you get the picture, but nonetheless, I'm just making it for a reason because I want you to see there are certain things that are only given to your child that you don't give to everyone else's child. God is the same way. God provides for his kids. He takes care of his kids. He corrects his kids. He disciplines his kids. But unlike me and my natural kid, I have them because God gave them to me. They didn't decide that. They didn't choose their parents. How many of y'all know you did not choose your parents? How many of you would have chosen other ones? You didn't choose your parents. But the difference between us as parents and God as a parent, my kids didn't choose it. They just were my kids. They came into this world as my kids. For the people in the world, they've chosen not to be God's kid. What do I mean by that? God wants humanity to serve him. God's original intention was humanity would walk with him and they would be a part of his kingdom. They would be his children. But humanity has chosen not to follow God. Therefore, they don't get the benefits of being his kid. So this morning, I want to talk about one of these benefits. But rather than simply telling you what that benefit is, I want to show you what the Bible says. I want to illustrate for you one of these great benefits of being a part of God's kingdom by reading this amazing story to you, by reading the Bible to you. Because the Bible is amazing. It's full of these stories, these texts, these illustrations that read. You can read it, you can be just completely captivated by what you read, and all the while God is teaching you a lesson. That's why you need to read your Bible. I'm going to say that again. That's why you need to read your Bible. Because there's so many things that he wants to teach you. Don't say you can't hear God if your Bible's closed. Don't say, I wish God would give me a sign. He's going to open up the book. I'll show you one. I'll even read it to you. How many of you know you with the YouVersion app, you don't even have to read your Bible anymore. You can just cut it on and it will read to you. So there's so many things, so many reasons why we should stay in God's word because God indeed wants to speak to us. He wants us to see how to live by how he's illustrated it for us in the Bible. But we're talking about benefits in the kingdom. And I'll read the story to you. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 22. Many of you have read it before. Many of you have heard it before. Maybe you grew up in church hearing it. But hopefully you see something specific in today's text. The Bible says this. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. Buffeted, let me stop right there. If you don't know what buffeted means, it means to strike against forcefully and especially repeatedly. Battered. Doesn't mean buffet. It's buffeted. It was battered. It was being beaten by the waves because of the wind. Because the wind was against it. Verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. See, sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. Sometimes when God is doing something, it looks scary. It looks frightening. It startles us. It takes us back because this is not normal. Jesus, we know you can heal the sick, but people shouldn't walk on water. That's not normal. So they were afraid, they were nervous because they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. So they're already out there and they're scared and they're nervous and the waves are hitting the boat and they're being shaken all around. And now all of a sudden you have somebody walking on the water. It's got to be a ghost. They were freaked out because they didn't see what Jesus was doing. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Now, they had every reason in the natural sense to be afraid. Verse 28, "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." I love the tenacity and the courage of Peter. I love Peter's boldness. And if you know this story, you know Peter takes a lot of flack for what happened in this story. But I like Peter. Because if you notice, Peter was the only one who got out of the boat. He may take some flack for the rest of the story, but he was the only one who was willing to step out of that boat. The only one who had the courage to say, "I'll try that." How many of you have Peters in your life, people who they just do it first and then think later? How many of you are Peter? You can always tell who the Peters in your life are. They're the people who they say it first and they think about it after. He was bold, he was courageous, but he found himself in trouble. Verse 29, "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Think about this. He trusted Jesus. He began to walk on water. He was doing the impossible. But then trouble revealed itself. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." An amazing story. But I want you to see this. One minute, Peter's looking at Jesus, and he's doing the impossible. But the next minute, he's looking at the waves, which represents the problems around him, and he's sinking. One minute he's on the source. One minute he is paying attention to the God of the universe and he is doing something he never imagined he could do. And the next minute, he's focused on everything that's going wrong, everything that's happening, and he finds himself sinking. How many of you have ever been in this place? Where one minute you're full of faith, and the next minute you're questioning everything. What am I doing here? Lord, this isn't normal. This is not, normal people don't walk on water. This does not happen every day. I've never seen this happen. What am I doing? One minute, willing to step out, bold, courageous. Next minute, wondering why he ever did something so dumb. I want you to notice, the wind and the waves didn't start when Peter got out of the boat. The wind and the waves started before Peter even got out of the boat. So they were present. The same circumstances, the same situation was all around him. But when he was paying attention to Jesus, he was fine. But when he got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. We're going to go somewhere. I want to show you this. I want you to see the progression of this story, though. They obeyed Jesus. Jesus is the one who sent them in the boat to go across the water. Think about that. They listened to God, and listening to God got them in the position that they were in trouble. We're going to come back to that. They obeyed Jesus. Then trouble came. The wind and the waves. And then something worse happened to them. It looked like a ghost was coming. But then peace came when they realized that it was Jesus. Then faith arose. And they wanted to step out and do something for God. Peter wanted to get out of this situation, out of his comfort zone. That's what the boat represented. It was comfortable. And he stepped out of that comfort zone because he was now full of faith, only to realize problems were still around him. When he realized the waves, he began to sink. Now, many of us have felt this way before. God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. Lord, I'm going to church. I'm doing the church thing. I would have never thought I would do the church thing. God, I'm actually praying. Like DeMar tells us to lift our hands. I'm one of the people who do it. Lord, I'm making changes. I'm listening to Pastor Gabe preach hard things to me, like getting rid of relationships, and I'm doing it. Lord, so if I'm obeying what you're asking me to do, then why are there waves? Why are there hard times? Why am I facing troubles? We misunderstand some things. Because we still think for some reason that following Jesus means things won't be hard. For some reason, we still believe that if I do it God's way, then it's gonna be easier. And let me just tell you, that is not the truth. That is not the truth. We're mistaken when we equate the will of God with easier. We're mistaken when we equate listening and obeying Jesus with everything being smooth sailing. The beautiful thing is he's always with us. The beautiful thing is he will make a way. The beautiful thing is he will give us a breakthrough. It is far better to be with him in the storm than to be without him in the storm. But either way, the storms are gonna come. The storms are gonna come. See, sometimes God isn't doing what we think he should be doing, so we miss what God is actually doing. I'm gonna say that again in case you missed it. Sometimes God isn't doing what we think he should be doing, so we miss what God is actually doing. What do you mean by that? How does that apply to the story? Jesus sent them in a direction. And when the storm and the waves came, not only was Jesus not fazed, Jesus walked on top of the very thing they were afraid of. They're nervous about something that he's walking on top of. They're afraid of this thing, and they're thinking they might even die, and Jesus is just calmly walking on it. What was he doing? He was showing them, I'm on top of what you're afraid of. You're afraid of nature. Not only do I control nature, nature is underneath my feet. Nature is submitted to me. They're nervous about the fact that they're in this wave and that they're in this storm and they're in this trouble. And Jesus, you told us to go here not knowing that maybe, just maybe, the reason Jesus sent them in it so that they can see that the God that's with them is so much greater than everything they could ever be afraid of. How does this apply to us? Look at 2020. Look at all the challenges, all of the things that we've faced this year. There's not a single thing that you have faced this year that Jesus can't walk on. There's not a single problem that is in front of you even right now. Let me just help you. God hasn't lost control. He's still in control. And this year, as bad as it's been seemingly, is underneath him. God's not upstairs in heaven going, I don't know what's going on. I thought 2019 was bad. What are they doing? God hasn't lost control. He's God. He's God. I'm going to say that again. He is God. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be vulnerable with you for a moment. This very message was birthed out of a moment. Most of 2020, I've been good. I've been at home. We're fine. This is going to be good. God's got this. Then the waves come. Whew. Oh, wow. Man, I didn't see that one coming. Oh, whew. Didn't see that one coming. That's all right, Jesus. You got this. But after a while, the waves come. The waves come. The waves come. And you start to get concerned. You start to go, God, what about my kids? What if this is like this in 2020, what are they going to grow up in? Lord, God, Lord, the church is closed. When are we going to open it? Lord, Lord, what's going to be here when we come? And the waves start coming. Here's the thing. They were already there. But I wasn't troubled when my eyes were on him. And this message was birthed out of that. Because church, I know that if I feel it, I know you feel it. I know if I can have a moment sitting back and listen, I faithfully seek the face of God. I'm faithfully in prayer. I'm faith, all of those things. But if I can have a, just be vulnerable with you for a moment, if I can have a moment where I go, God, what is happening? I'm just a human being, so I know we're all feeling it. But I'm here to remind you. I'm on assignment this morning to remind you. The waves may not go away, but the God that we serve and that we keep our eyes on is walking on them. He's got this. Jesus was teaching them not to be afraid. He was teaching them not to be concerned. But when you're in the storm, you can miss that. Because you're expecting him to stop the storm. You're praying for him, stop the storm. Isn't there another story in the Bible, Jesus, where you just stop the storm and you calm it? He didn't do that this time. He just walked on it. And not only did he walk on it, he allowed them to get out of the boat and walk on it. That's a different message in and of itself. Peter, don't miss this. Peter caught a glimpse of this. But then he lost his way. See, when he was looking at Jesus, he was full of faith. His faith was strong. But when he was looking at the waves, he began to sink. When you put your eyes on Jesus and you keep your focus on the person who your faith can allow you to step out of a boat, step out of a circumstance, step out of your comfort zone, and walk on the very thing that's causing you fear and anxiety. Some of you are so anxiety-filled this morning. Jesus not only wants to calm the storm, he wants you to get out of the boat. Get out of your comfort zone. See, this is what we do when we get afraid. Can I be honest with you? This is what we do when we're afraid. It's true of me, it's true of you. When we feel like we're losing control, we take control. And you may not be taking control of other people because maybe they've shown you you can't take control of them. So what do? You take control of your own emotions and you lock up. Start shutting people out of your life. That's one extreme. The other extreme is you don't care if they won't let you control them. You're going to control them anyway. Your kids start going to school and you have them dressed in battle armor and gear in preparation for going into this day. And I'm not talking about spiritual armor. Helicopter parents. You control your spouse because you're afraid things are going to get out of control. You control the people you work with because you're afraid things are going to get out of control. And you may look strong, but let me be very honest with you, that's weakness. When you see a person who is controlling, there's a person who the root of that issue is fear in their life, and they are afraid to lose control. Other people, you may look so good, so impressive, but the truth is all you're trying to do is control what they think about you. Because you don't want them to know the real you, so you're going to control the circumstance so that they can see you the way that you want them to see you. All rooted in fear. Because you see the waves and you're afraid. But when you keep your eyes on Jesus, it keeps you from sinking. Keeps you from falling prey to control. Keeps you from locking up internally. You've seen me do this before, but it's amazing. Where you place your eyes is the direction that you go. If I'm walking in this direction, it's because my eyes are in this direction. If I start walking in this direction, but I turn my head this way, I'm going to inevitably start to walk this way. Because where you put your eyes is the direction that you go. If your eyes are on Jesus, you're going to walk towards Jesus. But if your eyes are on the waves, that's where you're going. So this morning I ask you, where are your eyes? Where are your eyes? What has 2020 done to you? And it's not the year. It's not the year. But what has this year done? Some of us have lost people that we love. Wave. Other people, your finances are unstable. Wave. Your kids have been affected by the quarantine and you're trying to pick up the pieces and help them through it. Wave. What's going to happen with the next election? Wave. Where are the people who used to come to church? Where are the people who used to serve Jesus with me? Why aren't they? Wave. But hear me, church. One of the benefits of being a member of God's kingdom and being a part of his family is you can keep your eyes on him. You can keep your eyes on him. I want to end with this. How do I do that? Pastor, I hear this, and it seems like an amazing metaphor, but practically, how do I do this? Number one, you stay in his face. You stay in his face. What does that look like? You stay in prayer. I hope that what this year has done for many of you, this year has really kind of divided some things. For those of us who were hit with certain things, we responded in one of two ways. We ran from God, or we ran to him. Lord, this is shaking, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you. God, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Lord, I don't know why this happened, but I'm going to trust you. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? This is an opportunity for you to get closer to him than you've ever been. Take it. Take it. Spend the time. Pastor, I'm just so busy. Can I be honest with you? You make time for what's a priority to you. You make time when something's a priority. I can get off on this tangent, but I'll just say this. Some of our marriages are in trouble because we haven't prioritized our spouse, but that's a different message. When Jesus is important to you and you need him to stay on top of these waves, you'll prioritize him. You'll wake up earlier to spend time with him. Pastor, I'm not a morning person. Go to bed early. It's amazing how that'll change. Prioritize him. Stay in his word. Listen to his words because his words will keep you afloat. Number two, how do I do that? I choose to trust him even when it doesn't make sense. It did not make sense for Peter to be standing on top of water. This does not happen. This is not normal. I should not be able to do this, but I'm going to trust him. Because God will tell you to do something that makes no sense in the natural, but he knows that's his plan. And God, as you can tell, is not bound by the natural, because the natural is submitted to him. He walks on it. He steps on it. He runs on it. Trust him. And trust means I'm not going to walk in my fear. I'm not going to let my fears overtake me. I'm going to choose to believe him more than I choose to believe what I see in the media. I'm going to choose to read my Bible and believe the good news rather than listening to the bad news. And what do I mean by the bad news? Every news station around, that's what I mean by the bad news. I'm going to trust him. But then number three, very important, please don't miss this. Don't ignore the waves, but focus on Jesus. I'm not advocating for living in denial this morning. I'm not advocating this doesn't affect me, Pastor, because I'm in faith. No, it affected you. It hurt you. It rocked you. See, Peter could see Jesus, but he could still see the waves in his peripheral. The issue is, which one are you going to focus on? It's not that the waves go away. It's that you choose to trust him more than you choose to trust them. So don't ignore it. Don't be one of those people, everything's fine. Everything's okay. I promise. No. This has been tough. This has been hard. I'm not sure how God's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. I don't know how everything's going to work out for us, but I trust it's going to work out for us. Why? Because he promised it would. I'm going to believe him even when I can't see it. This is one of the many benefits being in his kingdom, so we can keep our eyes on him. I want to pray for you this morning. But first, I want to pray for those who, like Peter, if you're being honest, you say, Pastor, the waves have gotten to me. And I put my eyes on them and I begin to sink. Here's the goodness of our loving God. Jesus didn't walk up to Peter and go, what are you doing? He picked him up. This morning, Jesus wants to pick you up. Maybe you've found yourself creeping back into anxiety. He wants to pick you up. You found yourself giving up on this whole God thing because maybe God's not even real. He wants to pick you up because he loves you. Close your eyes. I want to pray for you this morning. Just between you and the Lord. If that's you, but nobody looking around, just quickly slip up your hand if you say, that's me, Pastor. I've begun to sink under the waves. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for being honest in God's house. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. 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 You can put them down. I want to pray for you this morning. Lord, you've been doing some amazing things this year. And as hard as it's been, you've been teaching us lessons that we didn't know that we needed to learn. But you did. But Father, I pray for every person in this building this morning. Every one of them that had the honesty, the humility to say, I've been rocked by the waves and I'm not sure what to do. Thank you for the grace of God. I pray that you would pick them up this morning. Dust them off, God, and remind them you are still for them. You are still with them. And that you are an unshakable foundation that we can build our lives on. Lord, I stand against, as their pastor and as your child, I rebuke and stand against the spirit of fear. The spirit of anxiety that would come to lock them up, that would come to almost like a snake, just wrap itself around them till it squeezes the life out of them. I bind you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. According to the word of God, God's word says perfect love casts out all fear. And your love for your children, God, is perfect. So right now in the name of Jesus, we cast out all fear. You said in your word in 1 Timothy that God, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I pray for power, I pray for love, and I pray for a sound mind in every person who said that they've been walking in fear. We rebuke it and we curse it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for freedom. And I pray that as they get back up, their eyes will be focused on you. They would hear the encouragement of your Holy Spirit telling them to keep their eyes on you, on their King. And Lord, we don't always understand the process, but we know the ending. And in the end, we win. We win. With their eyes closed, stay in that place of prayer. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, you're talking about this kingdom. I'm not sure what that means. You're talking about being a child of God. I thought if I was alive and born on earth, I was a child of God. That's not true. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to be God's child. I want to be right with him. I want to explain something to you. I want to explain how you do that. Jesus said this in the book of John chapter 3, like I read to you earlier. You cannot even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it, unless you are first born again. And I want to tell you how that happens. How do I become born again, Pastor? It's very simple. You follow him. You follow him. You make the decision to break every alliance of everything else in your life and you choose to follow him and do life his way. And I want to pray a very simple prayer that's just an expression of that commitment to follow him. I made that decision December 31st, 1996, and it changed my life forever. And I want to pray a prayer with you that's very simple. It's as simple as ABC. A, you're going to admit what? That there's sin in your life. The word sin is an archery term, and it means to miss the mark. It means that you've not been living life the way that he wants you to. And we're going to confess that. We're going to admit that. And B means I believe. I believe that he is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for me. And not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And see, I'm going to confess. I'm going to confess that he is now the Lord of my life. Not only is he the Lord of heaven, he's going to be my Lord from this moment on. And I am going to follow his ways. Don't be afraid if you're nervous about how it can happen and how you can do it. He'll give you the strength to do it. But your job is to commit to making him your Lord and following him. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want heaven as my home. I want to be born again. I want to be a part of God's family. I want to pray for you. With no one looking around, if that's you, I want you to lift up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Lift them up. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? You can put them down. A Savior's Church, pray this prayer with me out loud, all of us. You're going to meet Jesus today. Say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and that on the cross, you died for my sin, for my guilt, and for my shame. I believe you faced hell for me, so I would not have to go there. And you rose again from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So I turn away from my sin. I make you the Lord of my life, and I commit to follow you. And from this moment on, God, you are my Father. Jesus, you are my Savior. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate with everybody that prayed that prayer.